the University Tower chimes to bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. I believe coming to us live from our brand new Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning, it's Professor Erin Bell.
I am. I'm here up in the third floor of the library. It's a beautiful fall day. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
And what does fall mean to you, Erin?
This fall means to me. It means that I'm going to have a little tiny space of time where my bills are going to go down for just a minute because I don't have to have the air conditioning on every day because it's 88 degrees and maybe I can get away without having the heat. No, I love the fall. But yeah, that's a real life answer right there.
That is a real life answer. I completely, completely understand that 100%. Mm-hmm. Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us today. How about autumn in the Tubbs household? What's that like, Jim?
I like autumn. Yes, it's nice when the air is crisp and fairly dry. And well, I'm hoping that we'll get some leaf color this year. You know, so many leaves are turning brown and dropping off because they got so dry during the summer.
It's true.
I hope we will have some color.
But we had some trees planted at our house, a non-fruit-bearing pear, which apparently has some wonderful leaves and wonderful blossoms in the spring. And the shock of the planting just had them sort of shed their leaves, and they're going to be okay in a couple of years, but they're not looking too good right now. I think about what you say there, Jim. Continuing around the horn, Professor Beth Oljar is here with us. And what's your favorite fall memory, Beth?
Going out to Sabi's Island to get pumpkins. When I was growing up, trick-or-treating for UNICEF. Mm-hmm. Those little orange cardboard boxes that we all got when we were kids. And now, of course, it means six of the 200 plus pieces bags of candy for the hordes that show up on our, I'm not kidding you.
That's it so looks awesome. Like,
I don't know what it is about. Well, it is, I do know what it is. It's a nice safe street and a nice safe neighborhood. So
yep.
It's a good place to bring your kids trick or treating, but I'm not kidding you. I can go through six of those bags in 3 or 4 hours.
That's a big deal right there.
I'm telling you, Beth, give out clam chowder. It's easier.
Well, or hire one of Matt's kids to come over and answer the door.
Exactly. I got to tell you, Beth, it's funny you bring up trick-or-treating because we do problems at the board every once in a while in my organic chemistry lecture. And what I told the students is that there's a social contract about going up and making basically like a 15-second presentation. When they turn to the audience, that's the symbol that they're ready to present. If they keep their backs to us, then they're preparing. And I tried to make the best analogy I could. It was like the universal symbol for whether a house is welcoming trick-or-treating on Halloween night is the porch light on, right? If that porch light's not on, why even bother walking up the... And all the students chimed in when I asked that question across ethnicities and cultures. And I'm like, all right, we're still churning out a nice holiday here in the States. What can I say?
They all knew that that was the universal symbol.
The universal symbol.
No candy.
Porch light. Absolutely. And of course, Professor Dave Chow, who is like living the fall life that we have here in Michigan on the coast of Lake Huron in Oscoda, Michigan. How's it going, Dave?
It's a little cold. It's a little blustery, but I like it that way. As long as the seagulls don't come attack me like a Alfred Hitchcock flick, it should be good.
If you could see Dave on video right now, listeners, he's looking to the sky with despair.
He's checking out the attacking birds.
That's right.
Fearing for my life.
He's doing his best tippy hedron.
Exactly. I'm like, he has his tippy hedron wig on. It's all good.
Vicious seagulls.
I don't need to find out the Oscoda seagulls have a hankering for Chinese food out here.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
I'm prime buffet. That's all.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got too much MSG.
But, you know, even the birds couldn't dent that beehive hairdo that tippy hedron had.
Good point. That is a good point.
Absolutely true. Well, I think that that's a great segue into the fact that this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. You know what? I'm just putting it out there. Been a while since we had a nice set of questions about Hitchcock. That would be cool. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okie dokie, what do we got here? Hi, I just listened to the episode. Lots of fun hearing the profs back together again in person. We love the Dakota Inn and felt like we were right back in it. Oh, that's very cool.
That was great.
Here are sets of questions. I don't remember if I ever sent them in, so I'm sending them again. Like Matt said, winter's fast approaching in the UP, Si. Okay. We'll always have ATP to keep us entertained. I don't think that we've done these before. I don't recognize them. And looking at them, fictional dogs and their owners.
Cool.
Yes. Dennis and I own Izzy and Boomer, two huge and happy old English sheepdogs. They've romped all over the UP with us, and they suggested that we write some dog questions. I'll give you the name of the dog. You give the name of the owner.
Woof.
Up in Munising, it's Marilyn Bachorik. To keep everybody on board here across what fictional means, we're talking many different kinds of media, literature, television, movies, things like that. So, all right. The name of the dog is Buck.
Married with Children.
I believe actually that was the name of the son, right?
No. That was,
Was it the name of the dog?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
Bud. Bud was a son.
Bud, that's what I'm thinking.
Buck was a dog, yeah.
Buck, isn't Buck in a Call of the Wild?
It's Call of the Wild, yeah, that's what we're going for here. John Thornton's dog, Buck, from Call of the Wild. So I was going to maybe Dave is right. Let's just assume he is. We'll go from, like schlocky early Fox, and we'll go to classic American literature. How's that?
Exactly.
Thank you for upgrading my intelligence level there, Aaron.
That's right.
Okay, a little bit old school, but still kind of cool. Very unique name. The name of the dog was Asta, A-S-T-A.
The Thin Man.
Nick and Nora Charles. Yeah.
From The Thin Man.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Very good. Okay, this one says...
I wonder
says,
if the dog drank as much as the two of them did.
No, the dog would not have been able to stand.
I know, it's not possible, right? Yeah.
But that's the one that's most often in the crossword puzzles.
Okay, see? It's such an uncommon name. But what was Asta? Do we know what Asta was?
She's a little schnauzer terrier or something.
It was a gray poodle-ish kind of thing, if I remember right.
Okay. The next one is Tramp. From a TV show, not the movie Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, My Three Sons.
My Three Sons, the Douglas family. Oh. That's right.
Yeah, Tramp was a very shaggy dog.
Yes.
A shaggy dog. One of the questions. No.
There you go. Oh, we might be giving away a little bit here. Fairly straightforward, depending on whether you were a comics fan or a TV fan. Whose dog was Daisy?
Blondie.
Bumstead.
Yeah.
Blondie and Dagwood Bumstead. Yep, exactly.
Cute. My first dog was named Blondie after that comic.
Aww.
Debbie Harry?
Oh, no, well, I wasn't that cool when I was five. It was from the comic, but still cool.
Oh, no. You can rewrite history. It's okay.
It was really hip. It was a really hip five-year-old.
Yep.
Okay, who owned a dog named Brinkley?
Chet Huntley. Oh, oops.
Brinkley.
Like Brinkley. I would assume named after David Brinkley, the famous journalist. Oh,
like Lou Grant. That sounds like Lou Grant's dog.
It does, but it's a little more into the modern era. And I can give you the clue that it's from a sort of a cookie cutter movie.
I was going to say Walter Cronkite, but that doesn't sound right.
Cookie cutter movie?
Yeah, just a little bit of a cookie cutter movie. We had about two or three movies with multiple very famous American actors kind of playing the same sort of thing every time. This movie is most often compared to Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, You've Got Mail?
You've Got Mail, yeah.
Tom Hanks is,
Tom Hanks's character, Joe Fox, had Brinkley the dog. Yes, Brinkley the dog.
Well, they're both Nora Ephron, right?
I think so.
Body of work, yes.
K9, as in the letter K and the Arabic numeral 9.
The movie K-9.
Well, there's Get Smart, wasn't it? No.
It's not What Do We Have Here.
Hold on. There's a bunch of people had K-9 for a dog. Buck Rogers. I'm trying to remember who else.
That makes sense, but that's not what it says here.
I'm trying to remember. Wasn't Get Smart's dog K-9? No.
Sounds like it would be a police dog.
A science fiction?
It is sci-fi.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Oh.
It wasn't Battlestar Galactica.
No, but you're getting closer.
It's okay. Not Star Wars, Star Trek.
No.
You
know, it says here it's from Doctor Who, the Tom Baker Doctor Who.
That's right.
Had K-9 as his companion.
Where's Dan when we need him?
I know.
Yep. Dan would have got it.
It's going to kill him. Just going to kill him. Poor guy.
We'll just edit this one out. That's all. Don't worry about it. He'll forgive us.
Forgive us. Oh, poor Dan.
I hope.
Hey, who owned Eddie?
Frasier
Crane.
Yeah.
The greatest dog in the world.
I love that dog.
Yep.
JRTs are such a great breed.
It says technically owned by Martin Crane.
Oh, it was his dad. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. His dad, yeah.
But from the show Frasier.
Because Frasier didn't like the dog.
Does anybody remember his brother Niles' dog?
Yeah.
It was the Italian Greyhound that looked like the Whippet or something. I mean, it was just some ridiculous little dog that totally matched Niles's personality.
It's yeah.
I find that those dogs kind of look that way, like the old, you know, cartoon trope about you look like your dog or your dog looks like you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And when you see a dog that's like the size of a pony, but only weighs about half a pound, that's the way it works. Ooh, here's a good one from classic literature, classic children's literature. Who owned a dog named Nana, N-A-N-A?
Oh, Peter Pan. It's Wendy.
Peter Pan's family of the Darling.
The boy, yes.
You got it. The Darling family dog. Yes. The Darling family dog. I thought it was great in the Disney version of Peter Pan, how Nana actually was dressed like she was a nanny. I'm like, it makes perfect sense, you know.
Very proper.
Keeping track of the kids before the fairy dust allowed them to fly away.
They called it fairy dust. Sure it was.
That's right. That's what they're calling it these days.
You're on a tear. I don't know what the sea air is doing to you, but I'm worried about you, Dave.
Have they already opened the tiki bar? Is that what's going on?
I just got here an hour ago.
A little bit backwards looking. So we're talking about maybe I would call it classic or golden area movies. Who owned Neil the dog? N-E-I-L. Neil.
Mm. Sherlock Holmes?
Nope.
Neil the dog. Mm-mm. Very distinguished gentleman. I don't know.
Yes, a gentleman is actually a good way to attack this, Aaron. I remember, because I grew up on classic movies, thanks to my mom, being shown the first movie in this series and not being that into it, but still, you know, broad comedy, I would say.
Neil the dog.
It says here that Neil was owned by George and Marion Kirby, from the Topper movie series, if you've ever seen Topper.
Wow.
Yeah. Topper was the proper gentleman, I believe, who, you know, because that would have been fun back in the day, died in a car crash. And then he came back as a ghost and caused all sorts of problems for the Kirby family. And they had a dog named Neil. So how about Astro? Now, there's a no-brainer.
Jetsons.
Yep. The Jetson family.
And his wife, Judy.
No, it's Jane.
That's
Jane Jetson, wasn't it?
Jane, his wife.
Oh, I'm sorry. The daughter was Judy, right?
Yes, thank you. Yes, yes.
His boy, Elroy.
We had a nice Jetsons reference at the Mayo family dinner table last night because my poor mother, if you can believe it, sprained her pinky. And if you remember the Jetsons well, everything was a push-button future. So those were the only muscles you ever needed to sort of like have physical therapy for. And my mother's doctor recommended she go to physical therapy for her pinky. And I'm like, I gotta have a video of this. I want to know what they're gonna make you do. Like push-ups with your hand or, you know, like tiny little weights. Exactly. See, Aaron and I had the same idea. I thought that was pretty funny.
The thing from the Addams Family is your PT therapist.
There you go. Just the hand.
I think what your mother could do is just drink a lot of tea.
Try to keep the balance, Jim. That's great.
Yes.
Definitely from Topper. I mean, those movies were like, I want to say like 20s, 30s. I mean, they were even pre-World War II. This is jumping all the way to the modern era. A recently off-the-air TV show, who had a dog named Cheddar?
Cheddar?
It's Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah, that's right.
The Holtz, yeah.
Captain Holt and Kevin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Very funny show. Very, very funny show.
I believe we're having, I believe as part of our homecoming, one of the actors who plays Detective Holt's husband is going to be here. So that's a big motivation for those homecoming events for some of us Nine-Nine people.
Yeah, my brother is actually a graduate of the theater program, and they've got a ton of great alumni coming back the theater homecoming. Jamie Moyer is the one who's been on Bob's Burgers and was the male person on a couple of those, you know, short-lived sitcoms recently. So pretty exciting stuff. Yeah, that actually is. I mean, we're always willing to brag about Keegan-Michael Key being out of the program, but supplied a lot of other folks from our theater program coming up. Mm-hmm. Who owned Murray? M-U-R-R-A-Y.
Murray.
This would be 90s sitcom. I think that's all I'm going to be able to do there.
I totally know this because 90s sitcoms, it's like me.
Is it like Friends or something like?
It's in that era, but it's not Friends.
I know. I'm going to be so mad when you say, I got to think.
Home Alone, was it? No.
No.
Murray. The only Murray that's coming to mind right about now is Murray the Cop from Odd Couple.
That's not going to help us, though.
I'm blanking. Can we get one of the people on the show?
I think I'll give it away if I say that Paul Reiser was on the show, if I remember
correctly. With Helen Hunt. What's
Mad About You.
Mad About You. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That was a good show.
Yep.
Yeah. Helen Hunt. Oh, yeah, saucy.
They had... Yeah, you definitely have gotten into the sauce a little bit early day. This guy is off the charts here right now. Oh, my gosh. So bonus question. Thanks for sending those in. You know, I actually don't think I ever said that the questions were sent in by Marilyn Bachoric. She sent us tons of questions over the years from the UP, but there was no signature, and I just read all the way through. I'm so sorry.
No. You had mentioned because you talked about her two dogs.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you're okay. You're okay.
So bonus question, just for the goofiness. This is great. Who was Noel the Pig's owner? 80s era sitcom.
On Designing Women.
That's right.
Yeah. Delta Burke's character.
Love that show too.
It was Suzanne. On that pig.
Noel the Pig. I love it.
That show was hysterical.
And Noel the Pig always had a frilly collar around her neck.
Oh my gosh.
Now, whatever happened to Noel the Pig?
Well,
he's bacon.
We don't want to go there, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
I have my finger over the mute button. I'm afraid of what might happen next on this show.
We do not want to go there. Probably ended up in a beauty pageant like its owner.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
An episode of Black Mirror. No, that's bad. Never mind.
Oh, my. Yikes.
Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Oh, wow.
I know about that, actually. Oh, yep.
I finally caught up on Black Mirror when the pandemic started because I'd basically put it off forever. I was riveted basically to every episode. Fascinating series. Hope that they bring a couple more episodes back in the future. Okay, we've got a short set of questions to finish our show here from a student, Rebecca De La Garza. There's no indication of who's a student, but Beth just nodded, so I'm guessing.
Yeah, she had me for honors ethics with Josh Hohensheed.
Saying, oh, there you go.
Yeah, that batch. She's a very smart kid.
Yeah, we've got some anatomy questions here. Nothing too off the charts, but let's see what we can do. Which blood type is more commonly known as the universal recipient?
Oh, isn't it?
O neg.
Oh,
no, I think you're thinking of the universal donor.
Oh, okay.
Is it an AB?
AB is the universal recipient.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the blood type you want. If you're looking for a transfusion that won't turn you into She-Hulk.
Good tip. I'm fuzzy on this whole good, bad thing. So thanks for the safety tip, Egon.
Now imagine a Twinkie the size of New York City. That's a big Twinkie. By the way, great Ghostbusters reference, and I am not joking. I think it had been maybe 25 years since I've seen The Crow. Now that is a solid movie with Ernie Hudson in it. Like one of my favorite movies of all time, and I just haven't seen it in forever. So great. Takes place in the city of Detroit.
I saw that in the theater when it came out.
Yeah.
So did I.
Represent. Yeah, Beth, I'm surprised you didn't see it on the streets. Oh, so.
Hey, how many pairs of ribs does a human body have?
8?
7?
No.
9?
I'm counting.
Right 10.
Now. I don't know. Depends how many orders I get. It slows to go.
You know, it's 12. You were climbing the ladder, but it is 12. Yep. What is the medical term for what more commonly is known as a bruise?
A hematoma.
No?
That's what I've heard, but they've got a word that starts with the letter C here.
I was going to say an ouchie, but...
It's also known as a contusion. A contusion.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Contusions, right.
Okay, gotcha.
Rebecca tells us not to think too hard. How many...
We don't.
Don't no worry worries. About it. How many cranial nerves does a human have?
10.
It says it's actually 12 here, but you know, I've always heard 10, Jim, because my dentist jokes with me all the time. I'm getting some sort of Novocaine shot. If you put your hand on the side of your face, your four fingers and thumb actually trace the sources of those nerves.
No, it is 12 because I now remember the mnemonic that we had to memorize.
Oh, I see. Now, what was that?
No, I'm not telling you.
Oh.
Some of mine are fused. Does that mean I don't have 12?
I don't know, but I think there's one that's not generally going to be numbed by any dental work that you have done.
I had to get an MRI, in fact, to make sure that I didn't, because I've been having a lot of pain and stiffness in my neck. And I'm like, oh, God, now surgery number 3 on my spine. But my oncologist told me that the MRI was okay.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
I'm still going to call the osteopath. But yeah, I was hoping that I wouldn't have to have surgery on my spine. So it doesn't look like I will.
Excellent. We're glad to hear you're in better health, Beth. We all know the cardiovascular system deals with heart and blood vessels, and skeletal involves the bones. What are the parts of the integumentary? Wow.
Integumentary.
Thank you. Integumentary.
That's the skin.
Yeah, skin and nails.
Skin, hair, nails, and your exocrine glands. That's pretty interesting. Okay. What is the technical term? I think that Rebecca might mean the medical term for your voice box.
Larynx,
yes. Love all that ancient Latin, ancient Greek. That's pretty cool stuff. What hormone is secreted by the pancreas to increase blood glucose, not to decrease it?
Cortisol? Oh
my gosh, I should know this.
It doesn't say that here, Jim.
Insulin decreases, right. So glucagon.
Glucagon, yeah, there we go. Sounds like a transformer or something like that. But glucagon for sure. Yep. There are two types of cholesterol. One is known as the good, and the other is known as the bad.
Yeah.
What is the technical term for good cholesterol?
HDL, high density lipoprotein.
Yeah, it's the high density lipoprotein. That's right. There's two types, the good and the bad.
And the bad.
The Jedi and the Sith. That's just the way it works.
And the chaotic evil and all those others.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Jedi and the Sith.
Well, you know, try to keep things straight. You want to know how many times this year so far, Beth, I've said, you know, the students are complaining about some definition I'm giving them. And I'm like, what I've told you is true from a certain point of view. Like, that's all you need.
I like that.
One more. In the classical definition, professors, arteries carry blood to or away from a heart.
Away.
Yeah, it's away. It's I've always been fascinated by that definition. I suppose if you've got a bunch of corpses and you're just trying to figure out what to call things, that's a good way to do it. But, you know, it's something about carrying oxygen is really interesting.
And veins carry them too, and you have capillaries in between.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, one more of our Burroughs family imponderables here. Let's see what we can get down to.
An imponderable.
Yeah, an imponderable. What about soundtracks to movies? I'm not even going to say like favorite movie, because maybe you have a favorite movie where you like the soundtrack. Maybe there's a movie you don't really care for, but you love the soundtrack. But when I say movie soundtracks, what do you think of?
Saturday Night Fever.
The one that made the biggest impression on me was Star Wars.
Nice. Sure.
The first Star Wars.
Let's be serious. John Williams.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Yentl, the soundtrack. Oh.
Yeah. Yentl.
Wait a minute. So who was on Yentl? I mean, was it just composed by somebody?
Barbra Streisand.
Oh, okay.
Michelle Legrand wrote the music, and Marilyn and Alan Bergman wrote all the lyrics.
Yep.
Day of the Way We Were fame. So that and A Star Is Born. I mean, I like the soundtrack to that better than the film, in fact.
There you go. See?
Gone with the Wind was great, but it's one theme that's the main thing. You know, everything else is just filler. Likewise with Lawrence of Arabia.
Yep.
Wonderful main theme, but there's not the rest of the movie, the music is just not particularly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Footloose has a great soundtrack.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, Footloose has got a great soundtrack.
Absolutely.
I love Flashdance too, because I used to do the Jane Fonda workout to that album.
Nice.
And now I'm really dating myself.
Probably me, like, firmly entrenched in Gen X. I always think of Trainspotting, which is decidedly less intellectual than any of your choices, but it is just such a good mix of different genres, and you got Iggy Pop in there, and it's a really fun soundtrack for working out. And then the other one that comes to mind, which is really gross, but it's Reservoir Dogs and the stuck in the little.
Oh, yeah. Using Steeler's Wheel. I mean, stuck in the middle of with you when he's doing the carving.
I can't separate the song from that scene.
Yeah.
So I still, it's stuck in my mind.
Absolutely. I remember my parents being, I was just a little bit too young, really big on The Big Chill. And one of the things that I think that the younger generations probably have no perception of is if you've got a movie like The Big Chill, which most of the soundtrack was Motown, you couldn't get those tracks all in one place back in the day, unless you were subscribing to the Capitol Records CD, or Tape Club or something. So having a soundtrack that was an assembly of great music was just as important as an original score, because I grew up in an era of John Williams. If I just say Star Wars, Harry Potter, and Indiana Jones, those are some of the greatest music ever written. And
Encounters.
But you can't always get what you want played at a funeral.
Oh, that was great. How awesome was that scene?
Professors, I'm so sorry. I'm looking at the time, and the time has come for us to say goodbye. Dave.
See ya.
Beth.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
And Aaron.
Hi, everyone.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.